Amen. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn back to James this morning, James chapter 1. And thank you, Jamie. Great job this morning, brother, for leading us and leading us to the throne in worship this morning. We know that everything that's done here this morning is done to and for the glory of God. And we want to give him all the praise and honor this morning. As you're turning to James chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 13 this morning through verse 18. We're really going to pick up in verse 12. We'll kick off there as we go through verse 18. One of the fun things about having a toddler, almost 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old, especially as preacher kids, is that they rarely do anything wrong. Rarely. Right? Hope you can sense the sarcasm there. I'm not that parent. All right? My parents, my kids do a lot of wrong. I love my children. And they can be the sweetest little angels that you've ever met. And I want to make sure that the grandparents hear that this morning as they will listen to this sermon this week. But do you know what? Sometimes my children do not take responsibility for their actions. I know you find that hard to believe, right? With a 2.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. But when they get in trouble, their initial reaction probably 90% of the time is to blame other people for their shortcomings, right? Brother made me do it, or sister made me do it. I don't know if you've ever heard something like this, like, well, so-and-so told me to do it, or I did that because so-and-so hit me, or so-and-so popped me, or so-and-so wouldn't leave me alone. My daughter used to be pretty bad at this. You know how little she is. She actually weighs less than my near 3-year-old. But she was the daycare bully. I'd get a call about every other week of her beating up another child. And she would always try and make up a good story as to why she hit another kid or pulled another kid's hair or why she knocked him down. And she would always fabricate what actually happened. In fact, one day she told me that a friend had hit her. And it was a Saturday, right? She said, that friend had hit me that morning. And so I knew that even at 3, 4 years old, my daughter could stretch the truth a little bit. Obviously, this morning we can laugh and we can smile when we hear stories about that. And maybe we're even thinking or remembering our kids growing up and some of the great stories they could tell. And we may have laughed inside while we knew they were fabricating their stories. But do you know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is that my kids are like a lot of people in this world, young and old. What do I mean by that? Well, when tempted or enticed to sin and follow through with the temptation of sin, so many people say things like this: well, so-and-so made me do it. So-and-so talked me into it. There's a song that came out a few years ago that kind of follows this notion. And the chorus of the song, a secular song, says this: I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Put it on somebody else, because obviously it's not my fault. Put the blame on somebody else. And so often we say things like, well, he made me do it, she made me do it, my boss made me do it, my spouse made me do it, or even maybe possibly we've said in our life, God made me do it. But have you ever really wondered where temptation comes from? Have you ever wondered why we refuse and why our culture as a whole refuses to take responsibility for our own actions? Is God the one who tempts us? Is it Satan? Is it another source? And when we're tempted, what are we called to do? We're going to find that out this morning as we look at verse 13 through 18 of James chapter 1. But as I've mentioned to you, we're going to start off again with verse 12, because verse 12 is really the hinge between verse 2 and 11, as well as verse 13 through 18. So let's dig into the word this morning. We'll begin in verse 12. James says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. The first thing I want to draw you to is this word in verse 13, is the word tempt, or is the word tempted in your translation. Because there's something interesting about this word tempt or tempted. This word trial, which we've looked at in the first 12 verses, comes from this Greek word, pyrosmos. We talked about that. But did you know that this Greek word, pyrosmos, is from the same root as the word translated here, tempted, in verse 13? You do now. We talked about, right, how God allows trials in our lives to increase our faith, to perfect our faith, to achieve for us an eternal glory. We've talked about how trials are going to come. Trials are going to happen. God allows trials in our life to strengthen us. Trials are going to come. If you live for Jesus, trials are going to come. But does God tempt us? If not, who's the source of temptation? Can temptation serve a purpose? We're gonna find out the answer to those questions, really, beginning verse 12 through verse 13. James answers one of our questions right out of the gate. So let's reread these verses. He says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Then he says this, verse 13, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Within verse 13, really through verse 16, I believe we see the source of temptation. The source of temptations. James says from the get-go, God is not the tempter. God is not the source of temptation. He lays that out from the get-go. God is not the tempter because God is holy and God is perfect and God is just. God is the exact opposite of evil. In fact, if you flip that word evil around, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live. He wants us to have life in him. God is not evil. He is life. So God does not tempt us, but, and I emphasize that this morning, he may allow us to be tempted. God is not the one who tempts us, but he may allow us to endure temptation just as we endure trials. Think of Matthew chapter 4. Remember what the start of Matthew chapter 4 says? It says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so from the get-go, we see that God allows temptation to come our way. And God tests us. You can look through the Old Testament and see stories like Abraham, right? God tested Abraham with the potential sacrifice of Isaac. He tested Israel by leaving them surrounded by pagan nations. But while God may test us or prove us in order to strengthen us, he never seeks to induce us into a lifestyle of sin and destroy our faith. The Lord God tests us or allows temptations to come to strengthen us like trials so that, and I'll say it again, our faith might increase, it might be proved to be genuine, our faith might be perfected, and we might achieve for us an eternal glory with the prize of glory, which is Christ himself. But from the beginning, if we're honest, there's been a tendency, hasn't there? We've had a tendency, I say we, because I've been there, to place the blame on someone else, and sometimes maybe even on God, just like a toddler. I think Genesis chapter 3 is a perfect example. I think I put this on the screen. I can't remember Genesis. Yeah, I did. Genesis chapter 3, really verse 8 through verse 13. It says this, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, oh, it's this woman, right? The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. We're going to stop there. Here we see what I like to call the blame game, right? Whose fault does Adam say it was? Adam says, well, it's the woman that you gave me. And so essentially what he's saying is, it's your fault, God, because you put her here with me. Each and every one of us are tempted. There is no doubt to that. But God is not the one who tempts us. And when we're tempted, we should not say, oh, it's his fault or their fault or God's fault. We are all going to sin. But when we sin, what we frequently do is, right, we blame God. We blame God by blaming our circumstances. We blame God by blaming our weaknesses. We blame God by blaming our family, our friends, our surroundings, our economic condition. And James says here, no one, not one of us this morning, when tempted, should say, it's God's fault. Yes, we're born sinful. We're born into sin with sin because of this original sin committed in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden. And that has been transferred over to us. And that separates us apart from God. But we know that God sent his only son, Jesus. The Word. God sent his only son, Jesus. God in flesh. Not only for us to be restored to him and have relationship with him, but to have hope and to be an example of how we are to react when we are tempted. So we cannot say, well, God made me this way, and therefore God is responsible for what I do. No, sin made you this way, and sin made me this way. Sin made you and I prone to give in to temptation. But God wants to make us his way. We'll see that here in a few minutes in verse 18. Now look at the second part of verse 13, going in verse 15. Verse 13 says, let no one when he's tempted say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. God cannot be tempted by evil. Why? Because God has no experience of evil. Evil repulses God. God is never called evil, but he's called what? Holy, holy, holy. God cannot be tempted by evil. Yes, Jesus was led out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. He was, but did that temptation lead to sin? No. But here's the amazing thing for us, is Christ, God in flesh, came on this earth and endured trials, and endured temptation, and endured mockery. The amazing thing is we have a Savior who knows exactly what we're going through and what we're facing in life. In all the areas and all the arenas of our life, he knows what we're facing, because not only was he, is he fully God, but he was fully man. So we do have one this morning who, being tempted, is able to empathize with us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 points to that. But we also have one who provides a way to that temptation, as we're going to talk about in a second. God cannot tempt us. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he will not tempt us. But here's the amazing thing. When that temptation comes, when it happens, God gives us a way out. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Let me say a word about this. I firmly believe, and you may disagree with me on this, that's fine, that God will allow us to be tempted. But as I've already said, he never induces us to sin. He never induces us to destruction, because that is counterintuitive to who God is and what he wants for us. God may allow us to be tempted or to be tested, but he himself never personally tempts us. So that raises another question. Okay, Chase, you said God is not the source of temptation. who then is? Well, we immediately want to say, oh, it's that guy with a pitchfork. It's that red guy with pointy ears. It's Satan. Satan is. Sin is the source, and the source of sin is Satan. So Satan has to be the one. But while God gives us a way out of temptation, which leads us to sin, and Satan leads us into sin, who is the one actually sinning? In fact, look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Your translation may use the word dragged here in verse 14, but I like the ESV's wording, lured. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is lured away and enticed. When you hear that word lured, men who fish, what do you think of? You think of like fishing lures, right? And that's what James was intending to show us here. If you're a decent fisherman, I am not, but if you're a decent fisherman, you know that different types of lures, different types of baits attract different types of fish. I can remember going fishing one time with one of my friends and being determined that I was going to stick with this purple rubber worm that I had, that I was going to catch something with this. Although I wasn't getting any bites. My friend, on the other hand, brought something different. And he said, Chase, I really think this is going to cause the fish to hit this. And I'm going to be catching them. And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm a man of faith. And I didn't really say that. I was thinking it. I was going, I'm going to catch the fish. Well, the only thing I caught that day was sunburn. As he caught fish after fish after fish. Because he knew that day, all right, this is going to be what attracts the fish to bite my hook and to be able to reel the fish in. Stay with me, church. While Jesus is the ultimate fisherman, and Jesus shows us to fish for him and how to fish for him, Matthew 4:19 says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Satan also knows what it takes to lure people in. What do I mean by that? Well, he knows what temptation in your life is going to lead you to possibly sin. He knows what temptation in my life might lead me to sin. And so what he does is he lures it in front of us like we are fish until we are enticed and we do what? We bite. The temptation might be something different for you. But the amazing thing that happens is as we get caught up on the lure, we get caught up on the bait, we forget that there's something to it, right? There's a hook. And what happens is, as we get caught and we get reeled in, and when we're hooked, do you know what happens? James says this in verse 15, then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. It's consummated. Church, Satan is smart. He's cunning. Satan does not come at us with a lure that says, eat this and die. No, he says, eat this and enjoy it, and it will give you life. He flashes the bright light to us that we fly around at a distance at first, but then we get closer and closer because the light seems to be so appealing until, zap, we are dead. God wants us to know this. He wants us to know this. He wants us to know that Satan is going to allow temptation to come in our path. So don't be deceived. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brother. Satan is cunning. He's going to throw things in your way. They're going to tempt you, but you can overcome it. Verse 13 through 16, we see the source of temptation. Verse 17 through 18, and we'll fly through this due to time, we see the nature of God. Verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creations. In verse 13 through 16, we see that we are the problem when it comes to temptation. Our sin is the problem, not God. But in verse 17 through 18, we see the nature of God. What do I mean by that? Well, while we are dragged, while we are lured, while we are enticed by our sin, which takes us and leads us to death, the only thing that comes from God
is good.
John MacArthur says, we possess a nature that gives rise to sin. God does not. The nature of God only produces good. So I encourage you this morning, don't go after the baited hooks of Satan. Don't go after the baited hooks of Satan, which promise satisfaction when God has and God is all that we need to be satisfied. For God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, through the word of the gospel. We have experienced this thing called regeneration. And since we've been given life as a result of hearing the gospel and being led by the Spirit to believe in the gospel, verse 18 calls us to be the Lord God's first fruits, His loved possession. Within the Old Testament, we know that the first fruits were the first and best harvest crops, which God expected as an offering. And they were given to God as an act of faith that He would fulfill His promise of a full harvest. In the same way, church, we as Christians are called to be the first fruits of the Lord. We are called to give our lives, to sacrifice our lives to the good of the gospel. We are called to wake up each and every morning and pick up our cross and carry it daily. We are a redeemed creation who's able to enjoy life presently and anticipate the future and eternity which is promised and will be fulfilled because of what Christ has done. We get ready to close this morning. I'll say this again. God does not tempt us to do evil, but He challenges us to do good and to choose what is best. Temptation gives birth to sin, which gives birth to death. The Father does the exact opposite. For the birth that He gives us gives life, even though we die. So we get ready to wind things down this morning. The amazing truth this morning is that even though we have taken the bait, each and every one of us, pastor included, even though we've taken the bait, which is birth sin and will birth death, all of us have, by the way, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It tells us that the wages or the work of our sin is going to lead to death. We can still have life. Wait a second. How is that possible, Chase? You just said, my sin, my work of sin is going to lead to death. So how can I have life? Yes, I did say that. The amazing thing is that while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, is eternal life. While our sin leads to death, Jesus was born to live without sin, to take on our sin. So that through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection, we might have life even though we die. We might go from darkness into wonderful light. Church, I want to challenge you this morning to look at temptations which are placed in your path as an opportunity for your faith to be proven genuine. When Satan comes at you and entices you and tries to trip you up, tries to get you back in your former lifestyle, be reminded that God is going to give you a way to that temptation if you trust Him, as you seek Him, as you seek the law of the Lord, as you run to Him and run from sin. Run this morning, run daily to the arms of the Father who wants to clothe us, as we've talked about, in His wisdom if we'll ask for it. Turn to the One, believe in the One, follow the One who gives life. Return to Him this morning and not the one who destroys life. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I want to thank You for, once again, another opportunity just to open the Word of God and to seek You through the Scriptures today. Lord, I know that today was probably a tough topic for some of us to think about, and maybe we're guilty or we've been guilty in life of when we are tempted to say, well, it's their fault, or it's my boss's fault, or it's that person's fault, or it's God's fault. When we're tempted, we blame so many people. But God, the reality is that the temptation begins within us. And so this morning, I just pray that God, You'd call us to accountability. You'd call us to repentance. You'd call us to seek You. You call us to trust You. You call us to follow You. Because Satan wants us to take the bait. This bait is going to lead to death, an earthly death, because of our sin, because of original sin, which has been transferred over to us. But the amazing thing is that Christ has come so that even through our death, we might experience life. We might experience spiritual resurgence and a spiritual new life here, a transformation here on earth, and life eternally with You in heaven. And so I pray this morning that we would not take the baited hooks what this world offers us so easily. The world says, take this and eat it. Take this and give in. It's okay. You're only human after all. God says, seek me. I'm your Father. Turn to me. Ask for wisdom. Know when you're tempted that I'm going to provide a way out of it. And know that I may allow these temptations to come so that I might be shown greater and stronger and bigger and more lovable in your life than any temptation which Satan can throw in your path. May we trust the Lord God with our lives. May we seek him above all, and may we follow him. This morning, if you need to come and just pray this morning for encouragement, if you need to come and follow through with surrender as the Holy Spirit's working in your life, calling you to be a first fruits of the Lord this morning. You've heard the word of the gospel that Christ has come and he's called to redeem us. I encourage you to come and give your life. This morning, if you're tempted, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. If you're being tempted now, Christ knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He himself provides a way out through the word of God. Maybe today you just need to come and say, we've been coming here for a while, but we need to follow through today, join this church. We're excited about what God's doing. We want to be a part of the life here at First Baptist. However God's leading this morning, I pray that God would be faithful to respond to your leading. It's in your name we pray.